Hi, this is Rhea Goodman, and welcome to Living Juicy, now in its 15th year. Living Juicy is a cultural enzyme intended to inspire people to greater creativity and outside-the-box solutions. We are restoring the world with the stories of people who have created innovative new pathways to living in the 21st century. Living Juicy is culture medicine. Arcos Dance Company has created a new original evening-length multimedia performance. It's called The Warriors, A Love Story, and it's inspired by the lives of J. Glenn Gray, a Colorado philosophy professor and World War II veteran, and his wife Ursula, a German survivor of the 1945 Allied bombing of Dresden, Germany. Her passion throughout her life was dance. And J. Glenn's 1959 book on modern warfare, The Warriors, remains relevant today. This Arcos production explores timeless concepts of human potential for acts of profound destruction and creation in times of war. The Warriors focuses on a mix of art forms to tell its story, and of course that's where its uniqueness lies. It's dance, it's theater, set, lighting design, video, and music, each hold an important presence. Quotes, we're attempting to create a world-class production through the many facets of multimedia and stage theater. We not only intend to tell a love story through the lives of three different individuals and their connections as creators, thinkers, and kin, but also hope to evoke an emotional response from the audience through use of vintage media footage, war propaganda, live theatrical action, and more. So with me here tonight on Living Juicy is Elliot Gray Fisher, who is a multimedia artist and a teacher, and he lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And as a multimedia artist, Elliot performs variously as video producer, pianist, composer, sound designer, playwright, and director. He's composed music for film, theater, and dance, and has written 11 original theater productions with music, many of which he also directed. Among those shows are several melodramas at the Santa Fe Playhouse, where he also serves on the board of directors. Throughout his diverse work, thematic threads recur, cross-cultural interaction and communication, the turbulent process of traditions in flux, and the influence of institutions on people. Having taught at the college and secondary level, Elliot considers the process of actively engaging with student artists as an essential element of his practice. He designed the curriculum for, taught in, and served as coordinator of the certificate program in documentary studies at the College of Santa Fe. He currently teaches at Santa Fe Prep, where the courses he offers include video, journalism, film history, animation, photography, radio, multimedia lab, remixes and mashups, and choral ensemble. As multimedia director of Arcos Dance, Elliot propels the company's inventive integration of new media and compelling dramatic narrative into performance. Long, long introduction. My apologies, but welcome to you, Elliot
Thanks,
Fisher.
Thanks, Rhea. Thanks for having me.
What was your intention, Elliot? What was your purpose in creating Warriors?
Well, the idea was born as I came to know my grandparents more as full people than just in the role that I knew them. I actually never knew my grandfather. He died before I was born in 1977. And my grandmother, I knew, as I said, just as an elderly woman who had a German accent, you know, who I would come and visit up in Colorado Springs and running up and down her stairs. So as I got older in high school, I did an oral history project, and my mom suggested I interview my grandmother. And I asked her about her experience surviving the bombing of Dresden, which was an intense interview and opened my eyes to the decades and decades that this woman had lived before I knew her. After that, a few years later, I was introduced to my grandfather's book, The Warriors, Reflections on Men in Battle. And that was my first real introduction to Glenn. And it's a dense, philosophical, but compelling memoir with elements from his war journals, trying to make sense of senseless experiences that he participated in and was witness to during the war. So the past several years for me has been a process of learning more and more about my roots, about these grandparents and what legacy they might have left me. So the project was born out of that. The project's inspiration is trying to understand that legacy and come to terms with it in some kind of lyrical, artistic fashion that will be accessible to other people.
You know, I'm noticing more and more, Elliot, that creative people, particularly creative people, are looking more and more into their own ancestry. Mm. It seems to be a recovering present theme. Adam McKinney, who will be a guest on my show and who did Hamapa, also traced his Black and Jewish roots. And Judy Fine, the author, wrote this book called The Spoon from Minkowitz, going back to the Ukraine where her grandmother was born. Mm. So it seems to be an important thing to not only honor but to recognize your ancestry. Why is that for you? How does that feel for you? What is that doing for you?
Well, one part of it, I think, for me is growing up. You know, I'm 30 now. Here we are in the 21st century, and this generation of my grandparents, you know, is fairly disconnected from us. But but that time in the 20th century is such a formative time for where we are today. I think it's an important. I think more and more people are becoming interested in history generally. I've realized over the past year and a half doing this project that I'm fascinated with history, but it only started going pursuing my own personal family history. Mm-hmm. But I've come to hold a strong value in understanding our history better as a people, because you know we're facing pretty significant challenges today, and to understand them better, we can go back to previous generations.
Mm-hmm. What is the line about we are destined to repeat them if we do not recognize the past, history, something like that?
Well, and, you know, I think it's an interesting, you know, today, since World War II up to today, that war has been such a rich topic for fiction and nonfiction. Mm. I mean, it seems like it may be the most written about, movies made about topic. And here we are at the end of reaching the end of the living memory of that generation that experienced those things. But I mean, you know, it remains this profound mythic event for us, you know, culturally, globally, I think, you know, in many ways. And to the point where, you know, a president in the 21st century can refer back to, or maybe even has to, feels like he has to refer back to World War II as the only good war, the example of a good war for America, you know, which it wasn't, which is one of the things that we're trying to look at. You know, I mean, if we can puncture that part of that myth, we'll be much more critical of the way people talk about, you know, what our government is going to be doing in relation to others.
One of many, many myths we are fed from our government. Yeah. What do you see your audiences as coming away with? What would you like for them to come away with from the Warriors?
The thing that I've come away with that I hope we can translate to the audiences and that they also leave the show with is an understanding of the deep need for love and peace that these two people felt and acted on in spite of what they experienced, the horrific things that they experienced and participated in during the war. You know, my grandfather's book is very candid. You know, he at a time when not a lot of people, I think, were talking honestly about the sort of morally questionable things that they were asked to do mm-hmm. in the war. So that's the thing that I discovered actually in the process of creating the show is how profoundly, how deeply anti-war these people were, but not in the way that it's usually sort of thought. You know, they were so interested in beauty and so interested in the
life,
human capacity for creation and love and, you know, those things that just intrinsically may be the thing that could one day end war. That's just, I mean, I don't think you're going to leave the show with any answers, but just having seen the conclusions that these people reached after what they experienced, you know, and the way that they chose to live their lives together afterwards.
Let's talk a little about Arcos, because it's a most unusual dance company. I first experienced Arcos doing a performance at Site Santa Fe, interacting with some of the art. And I was just blown away by it. I loved the show, and I fell in love with the company. I thought, oh, what an interesting company. And then I remembered also having seen The Warriors done last year at CCA. Mm-hmm. What's so interesting about Arcos is the whole multimedia, its use in production, that it is not just dance, it's not just staging, it's music, it's everything really masterfully put together. And the Warriors we're talking about, I know your great hope, well, not hope. I think it will happen. Mm. This summer will be to take it to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh,
right?
Which is an amazing thing. Talk a little about what that would look like. How many dancers are you bringing?
We're taking a cast of seven, mm-hmm. including the directors, my wife Erica Gianfrido and Curtis Ullman, who are the choreographers, and I am also a member of the cast, playing myself.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah. So it's seven of us going over there. We'll be performing from August 1st to 24th nightly at 8:30 p.m. So it's kind of sometimes referred to as the Olympics among theater artists. You just kind of take a show and dive in there. Uh-huh. So we've got this incredible venue.
Every night. Where is the venue?
It's called Zoo Venues. It's it's on Nicholson Street, which I'm just sort of familiarizing myself with Edinburgh via Google Maps at this point.
Yeah, sure.
But it seems to be pretty nearby the Royal Mile and sort of where a lot of the activity is happening during the Fringe.
Yeah, and the Fringe Festival is famous for having this huge smorgasbord of theatrical events all mm-hmm. summer long. I mean, many, many, many to choose from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they say on their website there are thousands of shows that perform.
Incredible.
So the trick is trying to stand out among the crowd, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, what you mentioned, the thing that we're trying to do with Arcos, combining the different media and art forms in the way that we do, is something that we think does that. It does kind of separate us from other dance companies that may not be using video projections, or, you know, theater companies that may not have the high level of dance that, you know, we incorporate into our productions. In fact, you know, as we were forming this idea, Arcos has really just been around for a couple years now. And as we've been moving further and further down this road of multimedia performance, The Warriors was an idea that when it came to us as a production that we could do, it seemed like a perfect fit because Ursula was a dancer. You know, Glenn talks about in his book, talks a lot about the images of the enemy and propaganda and media and technology and the way that it's used to alienate humanity from itself, you know. So it seemed like the perfect format in which to perfect story to tell in the format that we use to try to, you know, innovatively but thoughtfully combine these different elements and use the different art forms, use their strengths in a way that won't compete with each other.
Right, and tell the story and further the story.
Right, right. And that's a thing that I'm interested in, you know, that I really bring to the table creatively in the team is, you know, I've just been introduced to dance more recently compared to my collaborators, and I still crave some kind of narrative when I see these bodies in front of us on stage, you know, while understanding that dance can be as abstract as music, you know.
And you write the music and you play the music and you're involved in the, it's all of a piece.
Yeah, you know, at this point, we, as an emerging company, we all do everything, which is kind of another ethos that feels fairly contemporary.
No, you know? I love it. I admired the costumes, as a matter of fact, which were, I think, waffle pajama tops and bottoms that Curtis had brilliantly dyed, and the logo itself is just highly sophisticated and really beautiful. Curtis did that too,
He designed that with a couple of friends, and you know, they were just searching online for something that looked compelling. And what those are, the letters of the logo are, they're these drawings from way back in the Renaissance from Italy. Yeah. It's actually the same, you know, Roman capitals that the Met Museum uses for their M.
Exactly.
With the little, you know, line, circles and lines that use the golden ratio and all of that
stuff.
Yeah, it's
clearly that, because I'm a typography nut.
Oh,
and every time I look at ARCOS, you know, and the way the spacing, the particular a typeface that they used is knockout. It's really great.
Well, and that's what, you know, we're interested in as participating in all of the different pieces of the production. We, you know, are not, you know, control freaks, but we do like to be involved aesthetically in every single piece of our production, including, you know, the look of the promotional materials and all of that.
So. Oh, yeah. You've got to follow all of that through. We're going to take a little break now, and we'll be right back with Elliot Fisher. We're back on Living Juicy. We're talking with Elliot Gray Fisher, who is the multimedia director for Arcos Dance. And we've been talking about this really extraordinary show, a multimedia show called The Warriors, A Love Story. One of your recurrent themes, Elliot, in your work is cross-cultural interaction. Tell us about that and what that means for you.
Well, I think that comes from growing up in Santa Fe, actually. You know, we happen to be in a place that is really culturally distinct in the United States. It's also probably where my interest in history came from, too, growing up here, because the history here is just, we have hundreds and going back thousands of years of history that are really apparent, and the layers are still just right here. And a lot of the relationships that we can see in our cultural landscape in this region in northern New Mexico has its origins hundreds of years in the past. So that's, I think, where I just by nature of growing up here saw cultures interacting and bubbling up and rubbing up against each other, and sometimes clashing, sometimes getting along. That's just sort of been one of the things that I've observed when I go other places as well. I took a trip to do some research for the Warriors last July to Germany, spent a few weeks there, and saw a very similar thing in Berlin. Even more so probably than here, these raw exposed layers of history. History going back hundreds of years, but especially the last century. I mean, just major global events that happened. You know, you can stand in a spot and see these different places and see the layers of history. I went to a place called the Topography of Terror there. That's a museum that was an SS headquarters in Berlin, the SS headquarters in Berlin. And then as soon as the war ended, the Stasi just moved in. It was in East Germany. And so the East German police just moved in on top of this old headquarters, you know. And on the western side, the Americans did the same. They moved into the military bases and the military headquarters that the Germans had been in. So so that's where I'm interested in that in the same way. And that's, you know, why The Warriors is another great story for me to tell, because it's not only about my grandparents, but it's about America and Germany. Mm-hmm. And Americans and Germans during the war and after the war, and you know, seeing the process of former enemies becoming lovers and marrying, and all of that's compelling. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? You know,
you work with students. You're teaching at Santa Fe Prep. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult getting students involved in history?
I think it's difficult at first, you know, early on for students to get interested in history and even in current political events.
Yes.
You know, the process of being a teenager, being an adolescent is all so much about oneself, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And that's the first step. And in fact, you know, it's interesting because you were talking earlier about artists pursuing their roots or mm-hmm. looking at their grandparents or their back into their family history. And I think that may be a phase and a process too for people at a certain time of life. I feel like that's what since I've become an adult, that's been an interesting pursuit for me. And I think in 10 years, it may be something else. It may not be directly related to going into my own family history and finding it. Students need really great teachers to get them interested in history, to make it relevant, to contemporize it for them.
Because in my intro, I read something about you considered the process of actively engaging with student artists as an essential element of your practice. Hmm. So what is there about engaging with student artists? Are you just really wanting to make them aware of what's gone on before? Are you trying to just to broaden their view of things?
Well, you know what's wonderful actually about working with young students is that they, in some cases, they're freer and they can more freely experiment, and they don't have as strict boundaries defined or drawn about the world.
They're less afraid to fail.
And
as we grown-ups are.
They're enthusiastic and they're exuberant, and they bring newness. They bring a newness, which I think is one of the things that we're trying to accomplish as artists, is to you know, bring a group of people together and give them an experience that they haven't had before. So working with students, teaching students, is related to the process of making or engaging with art, I think. And I think traveling is the same way in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Navigating a new experience, you know, testing your adaptability
improvisational smarts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, muscles.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little more about Arcos. Where do you see it going as a really unique dance company, now partly in Santa Fe, partly in Austin?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to take our show on the road, basically. We're trying to get out there, and we're also looking at creatively at where we could potentially perform. As a multimedia performance company, we may not be restricted to traditional theatrical venues. You know, the Warriors at CCA was not you know, a proscenium stage. It was
not
a very alternate space that we turned into a theater.
Yeah.
And the Site Santa Fe show was a contemporary art gallery museum, you know.
Yeah.
So those are possibilities. So that's what we're looking at doing. We're hoping to...
There was something mm-hmm. about the dancers interacting with the people who were watching, too, that was very important and very compelling. And just breaking that proscenium arch and doing it in a place like an art gallery was remarkable because I remember the dancers interacting with people. I went and saw it twice. I had such a good time.
Well, we felt it too during that performance. I mean, it was like nothing we'd ever had, even experienced, even, you know, with a performance where we have the dancers right on the same level as the audience and coming right up to them. But to have the audience not in audience, not in chairs, not sitting there, but, you know, having to make decisions themselves.
Exactly.
Made it really
get out of
compelling.
The way, you know, for example.
Yeah, that
someone's
was a decision.
Someone's moving.
Yeah. And so that we got very excited by that performance in Site Santa Fe. That's why we're looking at contemporary art museums and those settings as potential performance venues for us as well.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful museum in New York called the Rubin Museum. Mm. Do check it out.
We will.
It's a museum of technically of Himalayan art. And the design of it, it's in the old Barney's building on 17th Street and 7th Avenue with this glorious winding staircase that was done by a great French designer, a woman, I can't remember her name now, very deco. Mm. And the interior design of the walls were done by Milton Glaser. So the colors are just remarkable. That would be a place for you to do. Oh, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, we will. Yes, you know, that sort of site-specific stuff is compelling. Yeah, so that's where we're headed. We're looking to, in the next year, be creating work and performing as much as we possibly can. So that will see us hopefully performing in Santa Fe, in Austin, and, you know, elsewhere. We'll be in Edinburgh in August, and we want to see where else we might be able to go in Europe or around the States.
And you're going to do something in Santa Fe in May, June?
It's in June. Yeah, that's right. Saturday, June 14th, we'll actually be previewing about a half hour of excerpts of The Warriors. So a few scenes, not necessarily in order, but just sort of a sneak peek for the Santa Fe audience.
Where?
It's at El Museo Cultural down on the rail yard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
It's part of the we're performing in the Currents International New Media Festival, which is very exciting. It's a great festival. It has a lot of video installation as well as performances. So,
in the last minute we have, tell me what for you, Elliot Gray Fisher, is living juicy.
For me, living juicy is creating art with friends, eating delicious food, traveling. And ideally, if it's possible, to do all of those at the same time.
Creative collaborative co-creation, whatever you want to call it. It's very juicy, isn't it?
That moment of experimenting with something that you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It has been a great pleasure talking to you, Elliot Gray Fisher.
You too. Thank you.
Arcos Dance Company.